They had a bond for one another. You could tell when you watched them that they were deeply in love. But not only did they have a love for one another, they had a deeper bond, for they were business partners. Aquila and Priscilla were tent makers. They were in Rome, and they had set up a shop where travelers would come and go and buy their wares from A&P Industries. They found their way there to buy their tents and to get their tools and to set up shop. Even sailors would make their way and buy their sails from A&P Industry. Everyone in Rome watched them, for they had something deep that was attractive. They were very gracious, and often their home was open for people to come. But things began shifting in Rome, for you see, there was one named Jesus who had come. He had come, and he had died, and he had been crucified, and he had been buried. And it had been said that he had actually rose from the dead, for no one could find his body. They said that he was the very Son of God, and there was all kinds of confusion going on in Rome at the time. People were asking questions about this one named Jesus. Matter of fact, they called him the Way. People would ask one another, "Have you heard of the Way? Would you follow the Way?" For he had been called the Way, the Truth, and the Life. There was a ruckus happening in Rome at the time because many people were following after the Way. House churches were rising up. Christians were gravitating. They were calling themselves Christians because they acted so much like Christ. They wanted to be like Christ and live like Christ. They were adopting the Way and the Truth and the Life. And it wasn't setting so well in Rome. Claudius, the ruler, had had enough. He was losing control of Rome, and he had decided he had to do something about the house churches. So he started persecuting and killing Christians. Word got out that if you were a Christian, you were going to be persecuted. There came a point when Claudius actually said, "If you are a Christian, you will be persecuted if you do not leave Rome." He gathered up all of the Christians, and he exported all of them from Rome. This couple, A&P. Aquila and Priscilla, the sweet little couple that we read in the Bible, had a relationship as not only a couple, but as mates in business, knew that they had to leave. The Bible tells us that they made their way to Corinth on a ship. It wasn't such a bad thing because Corinth was a port city. They knew they were very successful. They knew they could set up shop in Corinth. Being a port city, they knew they'd have a lot of business, and they knew because people knew of them in Rome, the word would travel that they were successful business people. And they did just that. They set up their shop in Corinth, and they were very successful in Corinth. But they wondered about the Way. They wondered about Jesus and began asking questions, for they had a heart. You see, they had read the Old Testament law. They had heard about Jesus and were asking questions about Jesus, but they wanted more. They had a heart to want more. And whenever you have a heart to want more, God will give you more. Whenever you ask, you will receive. Whenever you seek, you will find. Whenever you knock, the door will be open. And the door knocked. There was a man named Paul who knocked on their door. For you see, Paul had heard of the tent makers, Aquila and Priscilla. He himself had left Greece, and he was on his way into Corinth. Coming into Corinth, people had said that Priscilla and Aquila were tent makers. That great apostle Paul, that great man of God that God used in a mighty way, was also a tent maker by trade. Oh, at one time he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. At one time he himself killed Christians, persecuted Christians, murdered Christians, but he had an encounter. For you see, a light came to him, a bright light. Jesus himself came, and he was struck with blindness and spoke to him. And he said, "Paul, Paul, why do you persecute me?" And Paul said, "Lord, I believe if Jesus said, 'Tammy, Tammy, why do you persecute me?' I'd say, 'Lord, too.'" And that's exactly what he said. But the beautiful part of the story is the Bible tells us that after Paul had accepted this Way, this Truth, and this Life named Jesus, that the Holy Spirit led him into Galatia, led him into Arabia. And for 3 years, the Holy Spirit taught him one-on-one. For 3 years, as Paul sat in the desert of Arabia, the Holy Spirit of the living God the same Spirit of the living God that teaches you and 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 you and you and you and teaches me spoke to him. For 3 years in the desert, he firsthand knowledge through the Holy Spirit of the claims of Jesus Christ. Something happened to this Apostle Paul. Something happened to this man. Everything in him changed. Everything that was narcissistic, everything that was proud, everything that was arrogant, everything that was religious died in him when Holy Spirit got a hold of him. Making his way from Arabia, finally finding his way to Corinth, he came into the home of Aquila and Priscilla. Oh, it was an answer to prayer for them because they wanted to know more about the way. They wanted to know more about the truth. They were seeking about the life. And night after night, I can just see Paul would sit there in the home with Aquila and Priscilla, teaching and discipling, telling the story how Holy Spirit had explained this and taught this. And all of a sudden, there was a fire in their bones. All of a sudden, this couple that were madly in love with one another, all of a sudden, this couple that was very famous, for they were known, very well known for their business, something was happening. Something was stirring. Because see, when Holy Spirit gets a hold of you, things start stirring. When Holy Spirit gets a hold of you, you have a longing and you have a desire. Everything shifts. Everything changes. You have a new light. You have a new love. You have a new path and you have a new way. Every night, the Bible says the door was open and people would come in and they would ask. For 16 months, they sat in Corinth, and they would do their job during the day, and they would have house church at night. Things were happening in Corinth, and the Bible is very clear in many of the books of the Bible to show us that Aquila and Priscilla sat at the feet of the Apostle Paul. And they listened and they learned and they became on fire for God. For themselves, they began to be teachers. And what I love about this story is they didn't get rid of their business. They were marketplace evangelists. They were the ones who said, we will all day sell tents. We will all day be in the business. And we will every day and all day talk about the glory of God. So this went on for many, many months in Corinth. But then there was pressure in Corinth. And they had to make their way then to Ephesus. So by boat they go and they followed with the great Apostle Paul. They were his soulmates. They were his companions. They were business partners. And they were all lovers of Jesus. And they were finding their way through that first century through Galatia and Philippi and Corinth and back to Rome. And as you look, if you can look in the back of your Bible sometime, you'll see Paul's first missionary journey and Paul's second missionary journey and Paul's third missionary journey. And I want you to know that Priscilla and Aquila were with him all the way. They were trusted friends. They were trusted companions. There was not competition. They did not say, oh, we know the way now. We don't need you. There was a sense of respect. There was a sense of honor. There was a sense of interest. And there was a sense of commitment, for they were loyal, trusted friends. There was a time when they had made their way and they had met a man named Apollos. And Apollos was brilliant. He was a student of the law. He was a student of the word of God. And he was teaching and preaching. But he had not heard of the baptism of Jesus, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He was still teaching of the baptism of John the Baptist. And they said, but yet we know a greater way. And I love the word of God because they had enough insight and wisdom, the Bible said, to quietly pull Apollos over to the side and to begin to teach unto him the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They did not embarrass him. They did not call him out. They did not have pride and arrogance to say, we know the way. We have sat under the tutelage of the Apostle Paul. There was a sense of humility. You see, a loyal friend has humility. A loyal friend has loyalty. A loyal friend has honesty. As I began to study the life of Aquila and Priscilla, I asked myself, am I a loyal friend? This has been a really good study for me, ladies, the last 2 weeks. I have had to look at my life. I've had to ask myself, what kind of friend am I? As we posted this week, this little video I did, it's really easy for me to think about everyone that's hurt me. But I had to turn around and look in the mirror. And I had to say, who have I hurt? And how did I hurt them and why did I hurt them? Usually it's because of insecurity. Usually it's because of jealousy. It's because of pride. And I began to ask myself, what makes a loyal friend? Why was A and P, Aquila and Priscilla, so close to the Apostle Paul? If you study this, and so beautiful, there's 6 times they're named, and never are they not named together. It's always Aquila and Priscilla, or Priscilla and Aquila. All six times throughout the epistles, they're always a unit. They're always a couple. They're always together. They had a love and respect as a couple, and they had a love and respect for Paul. It's so beautiful because if you know, just think about this life of the Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul. Out of everyone he met, he might be the equivalent to a Billy Graham for us today. Out of everyone he met, everywhere he went, all through Galatia, all through Philippi, all through Corinth, all through Ephesus, all through Rome, everywhere he went, everyone he met, the very last letter that he writes with his own penmanship, his own hand, his very last farewell was to Prissa and Aquila. He had given her this name of endearment. He had a respect for them, and he said, greet them with my love. The very last words he said before they assumed that Paul was beheaded. We know he was martyred, but they assumed that he was beheaded. Before he went to the galleys, the last thing he said was, greet them on behalf of me. And I asked myself, whose last words would I be? Who would their last farewell would be? Greet Tammy. Let Tammy know I love her. Let Tammy know I appreciate her being a loyal friend. I love this because it shows us the bond not only of a couple, but what happens when you have a relentless, loyal friend. I know in a size of women this large, many of us have been deeply hurt. I have been deeply hurt. There have been times in my life where I've said, I'm done with women. I'm done with girlfriends. As I've taken the knife out of my back, right? Only holding it to look for someone myself, right? Is that not true? And I just put up this little shell around me. I won't be hurt. But that's a lonely place to live. It's a sad place to live. We are to be friends with one another. The Word of God tells us Jesus is a closest friend, and he set the example for friendship. I want to walk through with you tonight what I really believe hopefully will be helpful. And one thing I say all the time, if you've been a part of Women of Influence, is I like you to always have a pen in your hand, because Holy Spirit will say something to you I won't. See, I'll say something, and Holy Spirit will re-say it to you. Do you ever be like Pastor Phil? Sometimes somebody will say something, oh, Pastor Phil, that was so good. And he'll go, I don't think I said that. You know, the Holy Spirit was speaking. And as we're talking, because this is real raw stuff, one thing I want you to know that as women of influence, we pray over you. Today we spend an hour in prayer over tonight, over you, over healing. We want healing in your hearts. You've been hurt by churches. You've been hurt by friends. You've been hurt by marriages. And we really believe the God of the universe, Jehovah Rapha is his name. He is healer God. He wants to heal you. He wants you to be a good friend, and he wants you to have a good friend. And I want to give you what I think in some notes tonight could be helpful to you. So I want you to take down some notes as Holy Spirit just speaks to you. But I want us to first start with this life application right here. Number one, a trusted friend always makes room for honesty. A trusted friend, guys, always makes room for honesty. Now look at this. Paul was faithful with Aquila and Priscilla about their friendship. He told them what it was going to take. Now listen, they knew if they were going to be friends with him, they were going to be persecuted, possibly beheaded. They could be tortured. They were going to be ridiculed. And I was sitting there thinking, would I have been Paul's friend? Okay? No, do you know what I mean by that? And you know, some girls are just a lot of drama. And some of them need you to be their friend, not me. Okay? I run from drama. My husband said something the other day, and I said, you should tweet that, baby. He said, I guess that I say this. Oh, he said, not all drama queens are female. I said, yeah, I like that. Tweet that, baby. That's good. All right? But you know, we don't like drama, but you may have a friend that has said to you, it's going to be hard. I've got a rough marriage. I've got a rebellious child. I've got this or that. And if they're honest with you and you say, you are my relentless friend and I am here for you, be honest with your friendship. Let people know what they're coming into. When you've got somebody that you're close to, you want to be honest with them. Don't dance around it. You got to have a tethered heart. And I, you know, I'll share with you a little bit about Relentless Friends in a minute. But he was honest with them. I know in that room, they had to all leave Rome and go to Corinth because of persecution. They still chose. 16 years was their relationship before he was beheaded. 16 years. And the Bible shows us all the different places that they sailed with him. They were called, but they were deep, deep friends. So you must be honest in your relationship. A trusted friend is based on loyalty. Loyalty. I really believe here that they stood by him. There were times where Paul said, you stay here and preach, and I'm going to go, but I'll come back for you. I believe, ladies, that my friends need to be loyal to me. I don't want, you know, it's like in my relationships, I don't want to wonder if I see my girlfriend over in the corner on the phone, if she's talking about me. Without my permission. I don't want to be so paranoid and so afraid that I can't trust that my girlfriend has my back. That she truly is speaking highly of me. She's edifying me. She's uplifting me. I just believe we're supposed to raise up women of influence. Guys, I don't want your drama. I love you, but I don't want your drama. You know, Jesus is really, really good at handling drama. So, like, that's not an issue I have. I'm not going to repeat your stuff because I just do this. I try to get rid of it. I don't like cling on. You know, don't. Are you with me? So don't try to carry around somebody else's drama with gossip. Well, you know, I really shouldn't tell you this, but I just feel like you could pray with me for her. Liar, you just wanted to gossip. Let's just be honest, right? You just wanted to put, for some reason, her down so that you looked good up. Jealous of the marriage. You know, the husband that brings home the roses and takes them out to eat and they have things together and you think my husband doesn't do that, so I'm going to make your life miserable since he's not. Oh, getting quiet in here. All right. There's something about us. It's called our flesh. I think the Holy Spirit says we're supposed to die to it. When we die to it, we can be resurrected to him. But that's what happens. There has to be a sense of loyalty that when you tell me you have my back, I trust that you have my back. I also believe that a trusted friend is rooted in respect. Now, respect is earned. Respect is on my side. I want you to be able to respect me. I don't ever want you to hear that I'm out gossiping or that I have this problem or I want you to respect me. And I want to respect you. There has to be a mutual respect with one another. That I am who I say I am. And when I have a faulty moment, I come to you and I ask you for prayer. And we talk together and we work through it. But I want you to go, I respect that about her. I respect that she's honest with me. I respect that she came to me and she said, I'm going through this difficult time right now. And I just need somebody to pour my heart out to. That's respect for one another. So a loyal friend definitely has respect. And then let's move on because I believe that a trusted friend establishes healthy boundaries. And this is what I want to mostly talk to you about in the next few moments. A trusted friend establishes healthy boundaries. I want to give you 5 examples that I believe can set healthy boundaries for your friendship. And you can write these down. I think they're really helpful. Number one, in my relationship, and let me just kind of start, we're going to talk about this in a minute, in your small groups. Phil has said this, and I think it's so good. If a person dies with 5 relentless friends, they are a blessed person. And I remember when I heard him say that, I thought, 5? Are you kidding me? I have so many friends. No, I have acquaintances. I don't have friends. See, friends have my back. Friends speak well of me. Friends care about me. I was just in Denver for my birthday last week, and probably my very best friend in all of the world lives in Denver, Colorado. We've been friends for 20 years now. I led her to Christ. Quick little story. The first grade, my daughter was such a little soul winner. She just told everybody about Jesus. And so she went to school telling everybody if they didn't know Jesus, they were going to hell. And so I received a phone call from a Jewish mother. And she didn't like that. And before long, we met, we had coffee. And our daughters became best friends, are still best friends to this day, in each other's wedding. And her mother, I led to Christ. And I've walked with her down many roads, and she's walked with me down many roads. And we got together for coffee, and we just hug, and she'll be here for the women's conference. And I looked at her, and I thought, you know what? I can tell you anything about me, and there's no judgment. I can tell you anything about my marriage. I can tell you anything about my mistakes. I can tell you anything about my children. And there's no judgment. I know that as sure as I'm standing here, because for 20 years, she's been a faithful friend. She's never had an idle word about me. She sees when I'm going through a difficult time and private messages me. She'll text me when she knows I need it, and I do the same for her. I have one. There's two women in this church that are relentless friends. They have been with me through ups and downs, highs and lows, hard times, ridicule, gossip, judgment, and truth. And they still love me. I know I have three. I would hope my husband and my children are. But my point is, you probably don't have as many relentless friends as you think. And as I began to think about it, I asked myself, am I a relentless friend? Who am I there for all the time without any judgment? They could come to me and tell me anything about their husband, and I don't judge them. They could tell me anything about their wayward child, or their infidelity, or their sin, or their desire, or something in their past. And I don't look at them any different than I did 2 seconds ago. Because I love them. I love this song. I don't want to give this to you because it's so good. I don't know how many of you listen to T.D. Jakes, but he's one of my favorite. I love T.D. Jakes. And he says there's three kinds of friends. Three kinds of friends. Write them down because they all fall under one category. There are those who are for what you are for. So if you are for Donald Trump, they are for you. If you are for Hillary Clinton, they are for you. So they are for what you are for. If you are for a movement, if you are for adoption, oh, we're for adoption too. So they're for you because they're for what you're for. You with me? Then there are those who are against what you are against. I'm against Donald Trump. I'm against Donald Trump too. So they are for what you are against. I'm against Hillary Clinton. Well, I'm against Hillary Clinton too. So they are for what you are against. I'm against abortion. I'm against abortion too. So they are for what you are against. But then there are those who are for you. They're just for you. It doesn't matter what you're for. It doesn't matter what you're against because they are for you. That is a relentless friend. Doesn't mean they don't speak into you. Doesn't mean they don't call you out. Doesn't mean they don't hold you accountable. Doesn't mean there's not bumps in the road, but they're for you and they're not going to let you fail and they're not going to let you fall. The greatest truth you can walk away with tonight is if you have two or three relentless friends in a lifetime, you are a blessed woman. The problem is we have confused friendships with acquaintances. Did you know that, ladies? Not everyone is your friends. We look for as many friends as we can get on Facebook, don't we? I mean, we look at Women of Influence. Okay, we're up to 4,000 friends now. They're not our friends. They're not our friends. Some of them, we know they're not because of what they say to us. All right, are you with me? There's something in our society longing for friendship. Longing for friendship. Try to find someone that you know is for you. And that means, listen to me, everything in me is trying to speak to you. That means they're going to hold you accountable. They're going to come up to you. And I just, my friend is going through a difficult time right now with a child that I was just with. And I said to her, I called her name out. I said, you got to be tougher, girl. You got to be tougher with him right now. You love him so much, you don't even see what he's doing. Now listen to me, this hits home to some of us. Now don't you be messing with my kids. You know, don't you tell me my kids have problems. I know they do, but you're not supposed to know they do. Right? But a good friend, I've given permission for her to say, Tam, baby girl, I love you. And you need to see this. Tammy, I'm seeing this in your life right now. And I love you enough to tell you. I'm seeing some patterns that aren't healthy right now. I'm seeing some attitudes. I'm seeing some posts. I'm seeing stuff that just doesn't line up with who you are. I know you. I know you. This is not you. A good friend, I've given permission. And when Jane, my BFF, says there's something going on, I listen. She has warranted that. I respect her. There are times when Jane has said that to me, and I listen. And there's at times I've said it and hurt. Are you with me? You don't all have the freedom to tell me that. You don't. A couple of you in this room do, because you really are. You've proven yourself to me that you really are relentless friends that care about me. Does that make sense? I want you to walk away not feeling discouraged, but feeling hopeful that I want to build one or two people in my life that I give permission to. Healthy boundaries would say to someone, I love you, but you are not a relentless friend in my life, and I don't really feel close enough for you to give you permission to speak into my life that way. That's a healthy boundary. Do you hear me? We think we have the right to tell anybody anything we see wrong in their life. And you need to be able to say in a kind, gracious way, thank you for your observations. I'm not so sure that they're correct. I will go to the Father on that, but you really don't have place in my life to be saying that to me. And that's okay to say that, ladies. I believe I said that in a kind and gracious way, because people are going to come and try to shift you and move you and convince you to do certain things. They don't have permission to do that in your life. Does that make sense? Makes sense to you? I want you to go home feeling that way tonight. Next thing under these five examples, your time together is uplifting and not personally draining on you. If a friend is draining you and zapping you of energy and emotion, they're not your friend. Now see, what happens with my friend Jane is when she begins to tell me her burden, it's not a drain on me. It burdens me. It breaks my heart. We cried together for some time because she's going through a heavy burden. I stepped into her burden because I love her. Does that make sense? If you're in a relationship that's weighty and heavy and you see him coming and you want to turn the other way, that's not a friendship. You with me? Because what will happen when you have a friendship with someone, you will step into their burden. You will carry. It's like he tells us in Galatians that he carries our burdens. We carry one another's burdens. I can't carry all your burdens. I don't know you well enough, and I'm not burdened for all the burdens you. I'm completely burdened for what burdens my three children. I'm completely burdened for what burdens my best friend, Jane. Does that make sense? That's how you know it's a relentless friend, when what burdens them burdens you. Number three, you don't receive or place blame or guilt on one another. A friend doesn't put blame or guilt. I'll keep using Jane. She doesn't ever put any blame on me. I don't even care. I am messed up big time. And she'll say to me, now let's walk through how this happened. I find myself and going, what did I just do? How did this happen? She'll say to me, let's talk about it. How'd you get there? There's not blame. There's not guilt. There's like, what were you thinking, idiot? Never, she says that to me. She'll go, Tam, let's walk down how you got there. You see that? If a friend is putting blame or guilt on you, they're not a relentless friend. See, guilt comes from the enemy, not a friend. So you'll know a tested friend if you feel guilty around them or they're putting blame on you. You equally give and receive from one another. This is so good. See, if you're carrying everything in the relationship, then it's not a relationship. There's going to be times when I'm down and she needs to carry me. And there's times she's down and I need to carry her. In a relationship, I don't care if it's a marriage or a friendship, is give and take. If I'm doing all the talking, it's not a relationship. Are you with me? Some of you need to start listening to your best friends. Some of you need to stop and say, how are you doing? What's going on with you? We are so self-consumed. It's all my world, my way, my life, what's going on, my drama, my kids, my business, my home. Shh. And ask your best friend, how you doing? How's your marriage? How's your kids? How's the business? How are you? How's your health? Can you imagine if we left here and every woman in here, whoever your best friend is, got a hold of them tonight or tomorrow and said, you know what, you just came to my mind. Holy Spirit brought you to my mind. And I just want to ask you, how are you? How are you? I've been so busy. I don't think I've asked you lately. How are you? You don't think that best friend's going to be tethered to you for life? That's a best friend. You feel free to be honest with one another about any and all issues. Again, there is this relationship that Jane can say to me what I need to hear. She's honest with me. And sometimes we find ourselves beating around the bush because we don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. Then you need to go a little deeper in your relationship. You need to look and say, this was kind of cute. I was just with my son last night. We went down to San Diego to see our kids. And we were having this conversation. And Josh goes, you know, Mom, sometimes I just want you to say, this is so good. I mean, we have a great relationship. He said, sometimes I want you to say, babe, how are you doing? Because I feel like every time you call me, you want to know about the kids or Kim or my business. But it's been a while since you've said, Josh, how you doing, bud? Take the dagger out of my heart. I did turn around and go, I know, baby, and I'd like to hear that from you, too. Let me give you the point. It's dialoguing. It's talking. He felt safe enough to say that to his mom. That was at least the good point. I've been blowing up his phone today. He's going to wish he never said that to me. How you doing, babe? How's it going? How are you doing? What are you doing? You walking today? You pray? How you? Anyway, that's a whole other story. But listen. And I just walked away and I said, but I'm so glad you feel free enough to say to me what you want to say to me as your mom. Do your kids feel safe enough to sit down and say to you as a mom what they want to say? I believe that, I'm going to close in this, that tonight some of you have been hurt. You've been hurt by friends, and you've been hurt by churches. You've been hurt by family members. You've been hurt by a marriage. I want to ask you right now to stop and ask yourself, what kind of friend are you? What kind of wife are you? What kind of neighbor are you? What kind of mother are you? Are you relentless for other people or just yourself? Are you for them? Are you just against what they're against and for what they're for? I believe this beautiful story of Priscilla and Aquila was a beautiful story of a husband and wife that were relentless with the things of Paul. The great apostle Paul could say their name in writing in our Bible because they were relentless, loyal friends. Would you be there to stand with Paul? Are you there just to stand with your girlfriend, with your husband, and with your children? Father, we come right now, and I just want to pray right now because I think some healing needs to take place tonight, God. This was hard for me because I've really been hurt by people I called friends because it was my mistake calling them a friend. And there's nothing wrong with any of them. Right now, two or three women are coming to my mind. And there's nothing wrong with those women. So right now, just hear my voice, ladies, and Holy Spirit, you know my heart. I am not trying to throw anybody under the bus. It's just that I thought they were a friend and they were an acquaintance. And the greatest thing you're teaching me right now is not every woman is going to be my friend. I will have a few friends who will be loyal and honest and faithful to me, and they will be for me. They will speak to me what I need to hear. They will have the freedom and liberty because of honesty and integrity in their relationship with me. I'll let them speak into me. But God, tonight there's some women who need to ask forgiveness, first of all, to you, and then maybe to their friend who was really not a friend. And I think healing begins when we let some people go who are just acquaintances. You see, friends kind of come and go. They come in our life and they leave and they come and they're like paths crossing, but they're not really relentless, trusted, loyal friends. So God, tonight would healing begin in women's lives who have been hurt by friends that have put shells up and say, I'll never be close to another woman. I'll never let a friend come into my life and do this to me. Father, would you soften that heart right now? Would you soften the heart of that woman right now who has put a wall up around her heart to never love again? And would you give her wisdom and insight and revelation to know how to choose the right kind of friend? Would you teach us from this lesson how to have relentless friends who love you, therefore they know how to love us? Father, we thank you that you are our greatest friend and that you stick closer than any brother or sister. So would healing begin tonight, and would doors be open in conversation in our small groups for healing to begin where wounds have really dug deep holes in our heart. We ask for healing in Jesus' name. Amen.